This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello again and welcome to the preview show. On this week's podcast, joining me are Sky Sports' Andy Hinchcliffe, EFL on Quest's Michael Brown, and Leighton Orient captain Joby McEnough is back as well. We're going to preview five selected matches from the EFL, starting with Derby against Cardiff live on Sky Friday night. Andy, let's look at the home side first of all. No win since the opening day against what now we can see was a struggling Huddersfield team. Two defeats on the bounce and a 3-0 defeat against Reading last time out. Is Philip Cocu fighting for his job already, do you believe?
I wouldn't say it's maybe that bad at the moment, but there was always, I think, always going to be pressure on Philip Cocu. Of course, the stature of the appointment, the size of coach that he is, I think it was always going to be a bit difficult for him. You've got to remember, though, they've lost a couple of key players in Mason Mount and Harry Wilson. So again, the personnel isn't quite as strong as it was last season. Their first-choice fullbacks in Scott Malone and Jaden Bogle have been injured as well. And there does seem to be a bit of a problem with the way that they're playing, the style of their football. It's helping them kind of going forward, or it's making life easier for the opposition as well. So I think, like any new coach, he needs to find kind of that the right formula as quickly as he possibly can. But I think it's fair to say that Derby this season are not as strong as they were last season. You ally that with the all change in the coaching staff, the pressure trying to match what they did last season as well. I'm not really surprised that it's been a tricky start for Derby. But again, if they can find that form and way of playing that suits the players, they can kind of turn the corner pretty quickly.
Yeah, Michael, a lot of loan players, of course, that Derby have lost from last season, like Andy mentions, of course, having to that new management team in as well, and, you know, new players taking time to settle in. Has that been the problem for them so far?
I think it's a tough league. We've got to look at that straight away and say, when you've got to change your squad around, there's no continuity. It was going to be difficult for a new manager to come in, as you've said. I thought the recruitment wasn't too bad. I fancied the chance of Christian Bellick from Charlton. Thought he'd done very well. Matt Clark at central defence was one I thought could really kick on. But then he maybe, you know, he's not too sure about him when you start losing games. He puts Bellick at central defence with Keogh, no Matt Clark. So you start to change things around to try and find those answers. And it'll just take time. And obviously, after the start they'd had, the arrival of Wayne Rooney, again, you're thinking, where would that go? Maybe that's just added that little bit of pressure. But it's finding your feet, finding that type of style that you can get results. And I'm sure with an experienced manager that he is, and the players they've got, they should come through and they shouldn't be too far away.
Yeah, Joby, of course, your side didn't get an international break, but will that have been a welcomed break for Philip Cocu, or will that have been a hindrance going in on the back of such a heavy defeat at Brentford?
Yeah, listen, I think you wouldn't have wanted to go into it off the back of such a difficult result against Brentford. But at the same time, I think this early in the season, it's probably come at a good time for them. You know, it gives them a chance to really focus on one or two things and get some things nailed down on the training ground, which it can be hard to do, you know, with the start of the season and all the games. You know, to really find that quality time on the training pitch, you know, can prove quite difficult. So I'm sure he's used this period to really just iron out a few things. It's been really interesting hearing his comments, you know, after particularly the Brentford game, where he wasn't really talking about style of play. It was more about, you know, the player's character and their attitude and what type of league it is. And, you know, it's good that he's got that, you know, because I think that's a massive part. You know, as a foreign manager coming over, you know, that's probably half the battle, you know, Brownie and Andy would obviously probably agree with that. You know, it's a real tough league. And, you know, I think when all's said and done, you know, you have to have the right attitude and commitment to it before anything else.
Yeah, Andy, looking at Cardiff now, three games without a win themselves, should they be concerned or is it too early in the season to tell? Yeah, Andy, looking at Cardiff now, three games without a win themselves, should they be concerned or is it too early in the season to tell?
I don't think they'll be concerned. I actually remember speaking to Kevin Blackwell before they played Fulham for about half an hour or so. And he knows, and the Cardiff is a club, they know that Neil Warnock's style of football works. They brought in some new players like Glatzel and Flint. They're going to take some time to get accustomed to the way that Neil wants to play. I think Marlon Pack getting injured hasn't helped. They were surprised that they got him, but he's a player that can really control the central midfield area. So he's been a big miss. And they've lost one of the best keepers in the Championship as well, in Neil Etheridge. So I think, like Derby, there's reasons, not excuses, reasons why Cardiff aren't really achieving what we maybe expected them to early on. But I do feel that Cardiff's season can rectify maybe a little bit quicker than Derby's because they are so established. And when those new players click, it will be very kind of seamless and it will work for them. And speaking to Kevin as well, and I do feel this is true, that Cardiff are probably man for man stronger than they were in their promotion season. So when they get everybody fit and everyone understands the way that they're trying to play, they are in probably a better position with the players that they have, the personnel they have, to the top six again. So again, speaking to a coach like Kevin, it really tells you everything. There's no panic at Cardiff yet.
Yeah, Michael, obviously Andy's been in touch with Kevin, but you've played under Neil Warnock. What will the mood be like in that dressing room? Will he be happy?
Do you know what you've got to understand with Neil? He's not phased anymore. He's not frightened of anything. I think he will be. He'll have that calmness. He'll understand the league. He'll know what he needs from the squad. Would he probably have thought they would have been a little bit better off than where they are? Yes. As Andy's just said, with those couple of injuries that they've had, Eskridge is a big key. And as I say, just getting used to, again, playing in the Championship. I thought they did exceptional last season because everybody really thought they'd be cut adrift. So he knows. He knows how to get the best out of teams. And he'll see Derby County has been fragile. It'll be a team he can go get a result against. And, you know, him and Kevin Blackwell, it's the experience. They know it very, very well. He's a full character. I mean, when they're losing, I think that's what you've got to understand. The new players will get to know quite quickly what he's like in the dressing room, because he can certainly go, he can throw the tee, he can do everything. But that's where he's at his real best. When you're up against it, he knows how to motivate players, and I'll be no different.
Yeah, Joby, they've, of course, like Leighton Orient, been without one of their leaders on the pitch in Sol Bamba throughout this season. Is that something that's affected them, do you believe?
Yeah, I think when you lose someone who's not just a good player, but, you know, a real presence and a leader, you know, especially in such an important area of the pitch, I think you're always going to be a little bit weaker for it. You know, someone who was ever present in the season, they got promoted, you know, formed a brilliant partnership with Sean Morrison. And that was sort of the foundation of their success, really. I think it is going to be a blow. You know, on the flip side of that, I think they've signed really well in Aidan Flint, you know, someone who's very much, you know, over the last sort of 3 or 4 years developed into, for me, one of the leading centre-halves in the league. Defensively, very, very solid. Also carries that goal threat, you know, at the other end. So, you know, for me, I think once Sol Bamba gets back, it'll be really interesting to see what Neil Warnock does. Is he trying to accommodate all three? You know, in any case, it's fantastic competition and real strength in that area of the pitch. And I think, you know, I'm reading imminent sort of improvement and recovery will obviously aid Cardiff's plight. And I think, you know, they'll go from strength to strength. I think, you know, as the boys have touched on, there's a better man in terms of Neil Warnock for really guiding that team through and building, you know, towards the back end of the season. And, you know, I fully expect them to be there or thereabouts, you know, come the end of the season.
Yeah, and like you said, Sol Bamba could be back in the next few weeks' time. So good news for Bluebirds fans there. Andy, now on to the early kickoff on Saturday, Fulham taking on West Brom, another two managers who have big expectations on their shoulders, of course. How have you assessed Fulham's start to the season, first of all?
It's been pretty solid. I think they're doing what we expected them to do. They're dominating the ball. They've got some great individual players, some of the best in the Championship. Mitrovic, as he does, is scoring goals. But I just wonder whether they're a little bit too predictable. You know, they play 4-3-3. Yes, they got Knockhart, Cavaliero, Mitrovic, Kearney as well. So they clearly got that threat. There's four very, very good players there. But I think as Forrest showed and Cardiff showed, you can nullify them. And I just wonder for Scott Parker whether there might have to be a development in terms of a plan B. Plan A, playing that 4-3-3 with the players that they've got and the possession they dominate, that'll work 70% of the time. But there are games, I mentioned there, Forrest and Cardiff, where if you set up correctly against them, kind of maybe force them infield, make it a really congested, tight game, they do have problems creating the chances or getting into the penalty area and scoring goals. So Scott might have to adapt that 4-3-3 for certain games, or even within games when it's not working and the opposition are kind of doubling up in the wide areas or have worked out where the major threats are, you maybe need to adapt it to get the job done. So it seems a strange thing to say, because it is such a talented team who keep the ball really well. But if you just play one way, teams can work you out and make it very hard for you.
Yeah, Michael, you know, we've touched on there, you know, the threat going forward in terms of the personnel that they have. Is their attack on the day, though? I mean, Andy's questioned it there, but is it on the day in that system the best in the league?
Well, I'd like to see who could argue against it. It's so strong. You know, as you mentioned, it's not Mitrovic, Knockhart, Cavaliero. But just in behind, you've got Kearney. You've seen the threat that he he is with his wonderful left foot. And it's a good, talented front four. And it's arguably, yes, it is the best. But again, you're still looking, what type of team are Fulham going to be? Why are they not breaking teams down? Why are they not getting through? Nottingham Forest defended well, in a good shape, kept a good shape inside of the 18-yard area and didn't let them through. And that's what they've got to make sure about. Possibly still a little bit fragile on the counter-attack. And you look defensively, they were hurt out so much last season. Have they recovered from that? But again, you've got to find different ways to win the game. And that'll be the difference in these Fulham players. Have they got that? Are they ruthless enough to do that rather than just playing the nice football attacking ways? And that's, as a new manager, he'll be looking to find different options.
Yeah, Joe, he's still in the top six, of course, Fulham, but not won in the last three games. Is it more important for them than West Brom to get the result out of this one?
Well, I'm not sure if it'd be more important than West Brom. They'll both be obviously going into the game. They've both had really good starts, I think, when you consider, you know, Scott Parker's first full season, you know, in charge. I think they would have taken where they are at the moment. I think, you know, as Andy and Michael have touched on it, the concern will be those last few games. You know, they started really well, won 3 out of 4. And I think everybody thought, you know, they're going to romp it. And is it just now that teams that they've had a little look at those first sort of 3 or 4 games have started to work out how they can stop them? And, you know, I'm sure Fulham will be doing the same. They'll be looking at those games, breaking them down, analysing, you know, where they can sort of be a bit more ruthless and find that end product that's going to make the difference. You know, I, for one, really enjoy the way they play. I think over the course of the season, you know, it will serve them well and pay dividends, you know, that possession football. And they just need to make sure they've got that cutting edge, you know, particularly when the games are really tight and teams are making it difficult for them.
Yeah, Andy, you'll be clearly impressed by Fulham there. How impressed, though, have you been by West Brom in the way that they've sort of gone about their business so far, sort of under the radar, under Slaven Bilic, surprisingly, unbeaten start in the league and fourth in the table?
Yeah, absolutely. Fourth in the table. What, they scored 10 goals in their 6 games, and that's the 5th best record in terms of scoring goals in the Championship. They tightened up defensively, which is where they had a problem last season. They only had the 12th best defensive record in the Championship, and maybe that was their kind of undoing. But, you know, Slaven had a lot of problems to do with losing Gail and Rodriguez, the goals that those two scored. I think it's going to set any team back when you lose players of kind of that individual ability. But Slaven, I was with Slaven at Everton, so I knew him as a player and I've spoken to him many times as a coach as well. He's definitely kind of a glass half full guy. He doesn't look at the problems. He looks at ways of sorting it out. Nothing slows him down. You look at the manner, the way that he deals with his players, very similar to kind of Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp. It's everyone together. He has a real bond with his players. And Slaven going in there was one thing. He's a great coach. But also it was about the signings that they made after losing Galen Rodriguez, bringing in kind of Romain Sawyers. Deon Garner started really well. He's got a goal scorer in Charlie Austin. So signing all those players, the balance of West Bromwich Albion looks right. And I think they're much more of a team this season than they were last season. There was that kind of over-reliance on Rodriguez and Gale, understandably so. But Slaven, I've been really impressed with what he's done, the purchases that they've made and their style of football. They've not really gone under the radar. As you say, they're fourth and they've got Slaven Bilic in charge. So as the season goes on, game by game, there'll be more and more expected of West Brom. But I've been really impressed with what I've seen so far.
Yeah, Michael, like Andy's touched on there, you know, this brings me to my next point. Looking at West Brom more specifically, we've talked, you know, about Fulham's attack. West Brom, like Andy said, lost Dwight Gale and Rodriguez from last season, but goals haven't been hard to come by and they're being shared more across the team as well. How positive is that for them?
Well, I think you look and you see when Deon Garner, Phillips can get on the score sheet, what is Austin going to bring? We've obviously seen he started a little bit slow. Zahor started the season. And so we're spending £8 million there on one striker, Ken Zahor. He leaves him on the bench for the last game, which was a surprise to me when he'd actually, you know, got on the goal sheet. But it's one of those with the players that they've got. Again, we talk about the manager and those group of players. You'd have expected West Brom to have been at the top of the table last year. No different. I think they'll be all the way. They'll be pushing right to the top. But how will all those players contribute? And you just look back. You've got Livermore from midfield. He's contributing. And, you know, it's just a case of it's a great squad, good manager. And I'm sure it looks like we've had a real good start, an open start to the Championship. So it's there for anybody.
Yeah, Joby. Andy's talked about the improved defence, but still no clean sheet as of yet for this West Brom team. How concerning will that be for them going forward from a coach's perspective, which you will have now, of course?
Yeah, I think look, results first and foremost are the most important thing. You know, I haven't kept a clean sheet yet, and I'm sure it's something they're looking at. I think the more important thing for me is the timing of the goals they've conceded. They've conceded in their six games, they've conceded the first goal five times. So for me, that's a big issue, and it makes it so much harder to win a game when you're chasing. And you look at a couple of results there, what they've ended up drawing. You know, if they can get that first goal with the strength that they've got, you know, they can go in and win the game. And I think that could really be the difference between them being in and around the playoffs and being fairly stable, or really being at the top end of the table and, you know, eradicating those early goals and going on and being stronger and winning games.
Well, Fulham are actually unbeaten in their last seven league matches with West Brom. They'll be looking, obviously, to continue that form at Craven Cottage this weekend. Now on to the Yorkshire derby on Sunday, Andy, between Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. It's got some added spice to it, this game, hasn't it? With it being Danny Cowley and Gary Monk's first games in charge. Looking at the appointment of Danny Cowley, first of all, how difficult a situation has he walked into at Huddersfield now after, you know, the hangover of relegation from the Premier League?
It is, of course, a club that's been on the slide, but I'm sure that Danny won't just say this, he will believe this, that it's a great opportunity for him to turn the club around. He's trying, of course, dispel the real negativity that's kind of clung on to Huddersfield for far too long with Jan being there. They wanted that continuity, sliding out of the Premier League. They thought it would help them, keeping him on board, going into the Championship. That's not worked out. They needed a clean break. It's maybe easy to say now. You can understand why Huddersfield did what they did, but they needed a change. They needed a break. I think Danny Cowley is a good fit. He's always said that he'd only leave Lincoln. He's achieved incredible things at Lincoln. He'd only leave for the kind of the perfect opportunity. Huddersfield doesn't look like the perfect opportunity, but clearly Danny has seen enough in conversations when he was deciding whether to take the job or not. He goes in knowing the problems, but he clearly knows that he can sort it out. I think creativity is the big problem that Huddersfield have got. There's too much reliance on Carlon Grant for his goals. They need more goals from around the team. That's what Lincoln had. So he'll look to do the same at Huddersfield. But I do think Huddersfield as a club have got a really passionate, driven coach with a point to prove. So it's now down to the players. Will they listen to Danny? Will they take on board what he wants? And will they put it into practice?
Yeah, certainly got a good record, Danny Cowley. Michael, one of the things as well that he suggested changed his mind about taking over at Huddersfield, because initially he turned down the job, was that he was offered the job as manager in the end instead of head coach. Being a former manager yourself, how important is that distinction?
Well, it was interesting. I actually had 10 minutes with Danny Cowley before his side played Everton in the Carabao Cup. I'm not sure if Andy was there also that night. I'm sure he was. And he was very open, accommodating, talking about his team, his where he took the club, where he wanted to be as a manager. And I was really impressed with him, how he set out. He actually said he'd changed the team because of the loading for Lincoln that night. And they were exceptional with the change team against Everton. And what you're going in for as a manager, he's been able to run the football club at Lincoln City. And then he's saying, Huddersfield, which is my next place can I go to? And predominantly, you know, the angle that they've gone with Dean Hoyle being the owner, they wanted that sort of head of football in Stuart Webber. They were very successful with David Wagner. So they're trying to follow that mould on. Obviously, a new owner comes in after, obviously, David Webb being the head of football. It hasn't worked out. And he maybe didn't want to take that challenge without that. But what's interesting me for now is, how has the football club, with having that philosophy, that way of going about it, have they then gone full circle and said, right, we want to now change. We're going to give you the title of being a manager. So does that mean he's heading up all the recruitment? Does that mean he's going to be the link to the board? So if that is the case, what is David Webb doing at the football club? So it's going to be very, very strange. And when you have two powers like that, where can it go? So they've actually changed and said, right, Danny, you are welcome. You are now the manager. You can take control. But which way and how will David Webb? So interesting times ahead with that one for me.
Yeah, it's seen that obviously Danny Cowley coming in would have the power. A dog's on the loose there, as you can hear. Joby, we've obviously seen that Danny Cowley, what he's done at Lincoln, but how different will it be for him in this situation, taking over a struggling Championship team now?
Yeah, very different. He's gone from completely one environment to another, a team that's used to winning, you know, week on week and achieving things, to a team that, you know, is completely devoid of confidence, and it's just a real negative mentality around the whole club, really. Interestingly enough, I was on a course with Danny and Nicky in the summer, on a coaching course on an A license, and I've got to say I was incredibly impressed with both of them. Their knowledge, you know, they're very meticulous in, you know, how they approach games and training. There's a lot of information that they want to pass on to players, and I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, you know, going to a higher level, you know, having lads try and take those things on board and getting that buy-in from the players at Huddersfield. I think if they can do that, then for me, it's a great opportunity. You know, it's a job, as I say, for immediate impact in terms of going and getting some results. They'd really fancy that because they'll get the ball into areas that are going to go and make chances and create goals. And it's not just a matter of just smashing the ball up to a big man. You know, there's a real method in what they do. And I think, you know, that'll be his first real job, you know, just getting the place going a little bit, getting crosses into the box, as I say, shots off. You know, they haven't scored anywhere near enough goals, particularly at home, you know, to get those victories that they need. So, you know, I for one think they'll go up there and do really well. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, their progress at the club.
Andy, obviously, you know, Gary Monk, looking at Sheffield Wednesday now, is a different sort of appointment, isn't he, than the Cowleys at Huddersfield. A lot of experience managing in the Championship now for him in different situations as well. How vital will that be for him going into a job like that?
Well, his experience at Leeds and Birmingham is probably what got him the job, and he's going to need to use that experience in the job as well. But his achievement at Birmingham was really impressive. You consider the financial restraints, the problems that he had to deal with. He kind of worked out the 4-4-2 way of playing that suited the players. He stuck with that, didn't change it very much because really couldn't do because he didn't have any money to spend on different players. So he got the very best out of the bunch of players that he had. Look what he did for Che Adams. He had all that potential. He turned him into a real goal scorer during that season as well. So for teams, for individuals, he can definitely improve them. And at Sheffield Wednesday, you have to say he's got a very good squad there. It's just finding, again, a way of playing that really suits those players. And if he gets it right, I absolutely believe the top six is there for them. That has to be the aim because Sheffield Wednesday have been waiting for a coach to really finally move them on. Someone who's going to stick around for a while as well and be really invested in getting this club, you know, into the top six and eventually back to the Premier League. And with Gary's experience in the Championship, he could easily be that coach that gets Sheffield Wednesday very close to getting promoted.
Yeah, Michael, Gary Monk's talked this week about the importance of playing in different styles as well. How crucial will that be for a team like Sheffield Wednesday?
Well, it's about the results. You say different styles. What players have you got? Can they fit in that system? I think what's maybe been in his favour that, you know, with Steve Bruce, that's already having that sort of a bit more resilience, a bit more harder to beat this Sheffield Wednesday side and a bit more of a structure. I think that will help him, that the foundations have been laid. I think, again, as well, and obviously having Lee Bulling there, who's obviously done a great job. He just maybe was probably unlucky not to get it, just didn't. It was a couple of results short. So it'll be a big test. But I think organisation-wise, he's not afraid from the challenge. And I remember actually seeing a video of him on his coaching badges when we were doing them, and he actually seen the difference in him, how he started to develop as a young coach. And he wants to learn. He's not afraid of taking any challenge on. And I've been really impressed with him. And I'm sure that'll be a good fit for them. I think it'll be difficult because of the expectation they have at Sheffield Wednesday. But yeah, surely he will. He'll need several styles, but most of all, you've got to get results very, very quickly.
Yeah, Joby, of course, despite such a disruptive summer for Sheffield Wednesday with Steve Bruce leaving under such a cloud, it's not actually been that bad of a start, has it? Like the guys have touched on, under Lee Bullen as caretaker manager. What will it be like for the players still having Lee Bullen as part of the coaching setup as well?
Well, I think it would be massively important for the guys. I think particularly during that unstable period, you know, all the uncertainty surrounding, you know, Steve Bruce and is he going, is he not going, and obviously eventually departing for Newcastle. So I think, you know, to have that sort of present there, you know, someone they know who works, how he works, I think has been fundamental really in the start they've had. And when you look at everything that's happened, you know, like Michael touched on, I think he's probably unlucky not to get the job permanently, but you know, he's done a real good job. It's not the first time, you know, he's been sort of caretaker I think three times now, and he's always managed to steady the ship. So he's very much a safe pair of hands there, and I think he's really given Gary Monk a good platform to go on now and really kick the club forward, you know. And, you know, I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, both managers looking for a winning start in that one, of course. Now, Andy, moving on to League One, and the featured match we'll be looking at this week is Rotherham taking on Bolton. Both teams obviously relegated from the Championship last season in different circumstances, but despite not being the best of starts to the season, there doesn't seem to be massive pressure yet on Rotherham manager Paul Warne. How refreshing is that to see a manager being given the time that, you know, he sort of deserves in a way?
He does absolutely deserve it. He's surely got some credit in the bank. Of course, they knew it was going to be tough going into the Championship, and that's how it kind of worked out. But that doesn't really change the achievement of getting the team there. And owners and chairman have to remember that and not just judge a team or a coach on what happened last season. So I do feel sticking with him was the right thing to do. But if you're out of League One, even for a season, you very quickly have to reassess of how the league has changed and how it's improved. You look at some of the size of the teams in League One with Ipswich and Sunderland, Coventry as well. I think year by year, every league gets harder to be successful. So Rotherham may need to kind of stabilise again after relegation. So keeping Paul makes absolute sense because he knows the club inside out, and very quickly he'll understand how the league is kind of set up as well. So it's been really good to see. There's been kind of no knee-jerk reaction to Rotherham getting relegated. Kind of common sense has kind of prevailed, which sometimes in football you don't always get. So they've got that common thread, and they'll hope that keeping Paul in there will see them have a strong season. But again, League One is a very tough league, and the football that's played, the challenges that other teams pose as well. So just because you were there and did well a couple of seasons back doesn't guarantee your success this season. So they're going to have to, again, roll their sleeves up, assess what they're up against and try and stabilise.
Yeah, obviously, Michael, Bolton now a different team than when they played a league game last. But there will, of course, still be an expectancy on Paul Warne's side to pick up the points here, a pressure on them to get the result.
Well, there will be. And I think when you have such a big change in a squad, obviously the adversity that Bolton have had, and the pressure will be on. You're a side who've come out of the Championship. And Paul Warne is very much about that team ethic. He wants the team spirit throughout his team. And again, what type of team are you going to come up against? I think we've got to be cautious and say, well, why do they keep Paul Warne? What position is it the right decision? They played one game less. It's very, very early. Only played five games. So we've got to give him time. I think he's done an incredible job where he took the football club. And that's got to be taken into account. Let's look at him as being a long-term appointment for the football club and continue that, the progression that he's had. It was always going to be tough for the size of the budget that he's had to take him into the Championship. And that'll be difficult now, as you say, it's very, very strong in League One, and it will be a tough game against Bolton.
Joby, Keith Hill and David Flitcroft, like we touched on, bringing 9 players in on transfer deadline day. How difficult will it be for them to bring those players together after such a short space of time that they've had to work with them?
Yeah, it'd be a big challenge. It's always hard when you've got such a big turnover, and not just the playing side, the whole club top to bottom. But I think with everything that has happened, those players that have come in, they've got an opportunity to play for what is still a fantastic club. We had a similar situation at Orient where, the club nearly went out of business, was relegated out of the Football League. And then the following season, we had to sort of cobble together a squad, really. And we were fortunate, and you'd like to think the Bolton fans will give the club a little bit of time just to really stabilise and readjust, particularly when you've seen what happened, with Bury and them going out of business. So, hopefully, as I say, the players will be afforded that little bit of time just to get themselves going. I'm sure there's still objectives, still things that the club want to achieve despite, the points deduction and the situation they see themselves in. But yeah, I'd like to see that the Bolton players really just having a real good crack at it. And I think it's a good chance for the club to just stabilise and reorganise, really.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of young players in that Bolton team, though, of course. And Keith Hill's mentioned this week how important it is not to mentally ruin them after a traumatic start to the season for them. How important is it for those younger players to have the support around them now?
Well, it's absolutely vital. I mean, this is why Keith is kind of so right for these really difficult circumstances. And for young players, they need developing by experienced coaches, and that's exactly what Keith is. But young players also need a lot of understanding I think finding your way in the game is kind of tough enough, but it's so much harder when you're in Bolton's situation. So I'm hoping actually that this situation, working with Keith Hill, that these younger players will learn, strangely, so much more under these kind of circumstances than maybe if things were kind of absolutely ideal, and they actually might come out a lot stronger, a lot mentally stronger and physically stronger from being put under this type of pressure. But of course, it's going to be difficult in the games themselves. You've got a young side and you're trying to win games and trying to climb the table. It's going to be incredibly difficult. But it's, again, the future. It's about the future for Bolton, and that future has been assured. So it's maybe not all about this season. They'll try and do the best that they can. But if it doesn't work out and they do drop down again, with Keith there, with these young players learning what they're learning, maybe in time, and it's going to take a fair amount of time for Bolton to kind of get back on kind of an even keel. So, yeah, it's not going to be a quick fix and Keith get everything right this season. The young players suddenly perform brilliantly and everything goes swimmingly. It won't be like that. It's going to be a long process, but at least Bolton has started the process. And with Keith and those young players, it's a good blend.
Yeah, Michael, everyone knows the challenge they face, of course. But can Keith Hill keep Bolton in the league? Can he keep him up?
I think you look at him and Flitty, they're the good management team. They've both been managers the last few seasons and their own merits. They know each other very well. They love the football club. They want to be at the club. They realise the potential that is. And I think, you know, can they keep him up? There's 16 points to make up. And let's be honest, that's going to be very, very difficult with a new team. Can he get them playing well? Can he get them winning games? Yes, I think he can. And I think they're just at the Bolton supporters will look across the way at what's happened with Bury. And I think it's a great point by Keith Hill coming out and saying, let's not ruin them. Let's get behind these young players, because he understands that the more the pressure's off them, the better they will be. And I'm sure the Bolton supporters will be just happy this season that they've still got a football club, because they were in touch and distance of disappearing, just like Bury. And if they can continue and just be patient with this team and with that management team, I'm sure, as Andy's just said there, they will come back even stronger. It might not be this season, but they'll certainly be with that fan base they've got, a club to be reckoned with in the near future.
Yeah, but certainly, of course, a mammoth task for Keith Hill this season. Now on to the League Two. And with the help of Leyton Orient's captain, Joby Makinov, let's talk about his side's match against league leaders Exeter. How tough a test is this one for you, Joby?
Yeah, obviously, given their league position, probably, as tough as they come being away from home. But, you know, there's two ways to look at it. Either it is a real tough game and, you know, but from our point of view, it's a game that we really look forward to. For me as a player, it's one that I would, you know, love to be out there playing in. It's a real good opportunity for us to just get ourselves back on track. You know, we were really disappointed in the first half, against Swindon the other day. And we asked the boys at halftime just to, let's try and get something out of the game. You know, we're 3-0 down. It's going to be a huge task to get, you know, a result, but just wanted a bit of a performance and a positive to take into the week, which we got. You know, we got a really good second half response. And I think from our point of view, it was the first 45 minutes that we've really let ourselves down, you know, and we include ourselves as coaches in that, but also the lads on the pitch. You know, we just were nowhere near, you know, the level we expect of ourselves. So it's a great game to, as I say, get ourselves back on track. You know, they've started really, really well, obviously unbeaten. They've had some really good results so far, but we really feel if we go up there and give a good account of ourselves, we can, go and get a good result.
Yeah, Andy, like we've mentioned there, Exeter top of the table, undefeated in the league, 3 wins on the spin. It's not the best one for Joby, is it? What's it like being the underdog in those circumstances?
Listen, every team I played in were the underdogs, so I know exactly what it's like. I absolutely love playing at Everton or Sheffield Wednesday, playing against, you know, Man United or Liverpool. I genuinely look forward to them because they're scalps, these big sides, and that's the way that Orient have to look at this game. Football is about belief, and that any given day, things can go your way. Yes, Exeter are top of the league, they've had a great start to the season, but that doesn't mean that this game will go that way. So, you know, one, you've got to have a game plan. And number two is you've got to believe in it. As players, you've got to believe in it and then carry it out. And as I say, teams top of the table, whether it be the Premier League or League Two, they are a scalp. So Orient have got to approach this in a way to kind of knock Exeter off their perch. It's a game to players to look forward to, not to fear. If you go into it worrying about the opposition, it's easier said than done. But if you can go into it thinking, you know what, if we get this right, we can make it hard for them. And that's the way to do it. And it's belief is what it's all about. The combination of belief and a game plan. And as I say, on any given day, any team can turn any over. We know what that league's like as well. It is unpredictable.
Inspirational team talk for you there, Joby. Yeah.
Send me a copy of that.
Play that in the changing rooms. Michael, now bringing you in. Matt Taylor's obviously done a great job so far with Exeter this season. I'm not sure if you know him or you've played with him from your time at Sheffield United, but Nicky Law, 3 goals and 3 assists so far this season from midfield. How important has he been to this side?
Well, you just look at his experience. I didn't actually get to play with him, obviously, from a football family. And he knows the leagues. He knows what it's about. He's got that sort of free role, that number 10. And that's what he's, you know, that's where he'll be key. And you just look at the teams that he's played for. And it's, you see, Glasgow Rangers, Motherwell, Bradford, Sheffield United. So that's the type of player you want. And when you're going well at the top of the league, that'll be key. But again, you know, you've got to give him credit to be there on merit. It's been a fantastic start, and it will be a difficult game after Exeter go to Carlisle, of all places. I mean, that's a trek in itself, isn't it? Exeter to Carlisle. They've done very, very well to go and win 3-1 away from home.
Yeah, Joby, you know, finally leaving it with you. Obviously, you've been out injured so far this season. Will we be seeing you out there in this one, straight in at the deep end?
No, unfortunately not quite ready yet, as much as I wish I was, to be honest. You know, it's a great game, and you know, they're the ones, as you say, top of the table and you want to be involved in, but not quite ready yet. It's taken a little bit longer than I would like. I'm sure Brownie and Andy will attest to the getting old problems.
I can't believe you've given your team away already, Doug. You're going to get sold off tomorrow for that.
So, not quite ready yet, but, you know, hopefully be back out there soon. In the meantime, I'll keep trying to shout at them as much as I can from the touchline.
Good stuff. Yeah, let's hope we see you back on the pitch in action soon. It's been too long, of course, since you last played in an EFL match. Guys, thanks for joining me and have a great weekend.
Cheers,
mate. The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.